You're listening to The Morning Drip, South Georgia's number one morning show. For independent voices and liberated perspectives, got a question or comment? You can text the show at 229-234-1307.
Wait, 229-234-1307.
And good morning. Welcome to The Morning Drip. I am your host, Donovan. This is Thursday, October 2nd, 2025. It's currently 66 degrees down here in South Central Georgia. Good morning to you all. Again, it's Spooktober. I still got to find me a little sound bite to throw on the soundboard. First thing this morning, you know, I'm not going to start off with, oh, the government shut down and all of that. But it's a story that was posted back on the 24th of September. And this happened in Gwinnett County here in Georgia, where a Gwinnett County mother is facing charges after allegedly encouraging her son to fight at school, which led to a ban from youth football games. Miss Vic, because I'm not going to try to just stumble all over her first name. Her last name is Vic, so I'm going to say Miss Vic was arrested after school. Police claimed that she urged her 11-year-old son to fight following an incident at Osborne Middle School. She stated, "I was advocating for my kids." She's asserting that her actions were misunderstood. She said the incident began when her 6-year-old son was allegedly shoved by another player over a bus-related dispute. So she then entered the field and told her son to, quote, do what you gotta do. I'm not sure she said it, you know, like in the Tony Soprano with do what you gotta do. But she faces charges of simple battery and contributing to the delinquency of a minor. And as you could imagine, she's describing this situation as embarrassing and degrading. She's quoted as saying, it was hurtful, I felt ignored. And she, of course, is exploring legal options to clear her name, but has been banned from all youth football games. So far, as of the posting of the article, like I said, on the 24th, Gwinnett County School Police have not commented on the case, citing its pending status in the court system. Miss Vic remains determined to fight the charges and regain her son's place on the football field. Okay, so as a member of Generation X, I am a Gen Xer. I was brought up, and I know some younger people are going to go, well, times change, man. Okay, yeah, that's true. They do. We grow. We learn. What would you say? 50, 75 years ago, corporal punishment for, and what I mean by that is you get your ass spanked by your daddy most of the time when you misbehaved. Are you going to get a flip-flop upside your head? Especially if you're of Latino descent. And, but, you know, I was told, don't ever start a fight, all right? Don't ever start the fight, but you damn well better finish it. And I don't know what's happened in this country. Now, look, I'm not advocating for violence. That's not what I'm saying. But You got to stand up for yourself. You have to stand up for yourself. Because if you don't, well, you're going to keep getting knocked down. You're going to be on the ground constantly. It's like you never give in to a bully. Don't ever give in to a bully. You know, bully, you know, wants your lunch money every day. You start giving in to that. You start giving the lunch money. Well, what's the next thing? You know, if you've got some prized possessions that you might carry to school, I don't know what that could be. He might decide that he wants that. That's the problem with a bully. You give them an inch, they take 100 miles, you know? So in this situation, I think these are bogus charges. I don't think she should be brought up on charges. Now, should there be some type of disciplinary action against her son? Probably, yeah. Not only her son, but the, whoever it was that allegedly shoved the other son. Because based on what I'm looking at here, she's got an 11-year-old son who is the one that was in the fighting incident. And he basically was fighting for the honor of his 6-year-old brother, who was allegedly shoved by another player over a bus-related dispute. So if the you know, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe we don't have all the facts on this one, but I do know this. This insane desire for your SROs, when there's any type of altercation at a school, even in elementary school, to take the children, whether it's one or two or, you know, more, and then handcuff them and put them in a squad car. Yeah, I mean, I get it. On one hand, it's probably going to put the fear of God in them, but I think that's a bit too far. I just think it's a bit too far. You know, I like the way things were handled back in my day. You misbehave, you went to the principal's office, and there was a very good chance that you were going to get your ass beat. Not really beaten, but you were going to be disciplined. You were going to get a paddling. I mean, I remember I got a few paddlings while, you know, I got one or two in elementary school, and I got one in high school. But now we have parents that's like, you're not going to lay a hand on my kid. Okay, well, that's fine. Send a note home and then be a fucking parent. You be the disciplinarian like you're supposed to be. But, and I'm just going off on a tangent here because, you know, this, I don't know. I think a lot of the problems that we have in school now, even going so far as school shootings, starts at home. It really, really does start at home. The school system is there to educate your children and get them prepared to be part of the world, to hopefully be successful, go on and learn additional knowledge and skills and what have you to be successful in the world and have a joyful, productive life. They're not babysitters. So I do feel like a lot of these issues could be resolved, or we wouldn't see as many if parents were being better parents. And I'm not pointing the finger at anybody in particular. I'm just saying, look at where we are today. We did not have police officers patrolling the halls of Fitzgerald High School whenever I graduated in 1988. We didn't. I worked for a company that actually put the very first security cameras in Fitzgerald High School somewhere around about 93, 94, somewhere in there, if I remember the date correctly. But before that, no surveillance, no SROs. You were disciplined at school, and then hopefully you were disciplined at home. But I digress. What do you think? Do you think that Miss Vic herself should be arrested and charged with simple battery and contributing to the delinquency of a minor? I think that's a bridge too far, personally. But let me know what you think. Email the show, morningdrip@radiotiff.com. Again, that's morningdrip@radiotiff.com. Or you can send us a text, 229-234-1307. Again, that's 229-234-1307 if you want to text the show. Email is morningdrip@radiotiff.com. Good morning, everybody. Hey, and welcome back to the Morning Drip. It is Thursday, October the 2nd. Spooktober, as I love to say. It's currently 7:30 a.m. on this slightly overcast morning right now. It's 66 degrees. I come across, you knew we were going to talk about it. So let's talk about the government shutdown a little bit. Doesn't really matter, you know, which side of the political spectrum you fall on, honestly. It is what it is. But I found this article rather telling because it comes from the Washington Post. And as far as a lot of us that are more centrist, a little left of center, have started viewing Jeff Bezos' Washington Post after everything that he did last year leading up to the election, he's not very, I wouldn't say that rag is very positive or leaning toward the left. They seem to carry the water for the Republicans more than anything else. But This article, they asked 1,000 Americans who they blame for the shutdown. And I was actually shocked. It said the Post poll found significantly more Americans blame President Donald Trump and congressional Republicans for the shutdown than Democrats, though many say they are not sure. People express moderate concern about the shutdown's impact at this early stage, with somewhat concern the most common answer. A large majority support Democrats' call to extend federal health insurance subsidies in general, though just under half support the party demanding this if it extends the government shutdown. And as we talked about previously, the subsidies for the ACA are going to run out, which means those of us who get our health insurance through the marketplaces are probably going to see upwards to 75%, if not more, premium increases for 2026. So here are the numbers. Who do you think is mainly responsible for the federal government partially shutting down? 30% say Democrats in Congress, 23% say not sure, and 47% say Trump and Republicans in Congress. By 17 percentage point margin, the poll found more saying Trump and Republicans are responsible for the partial government shutdown than Democrats in Congress. But there is a sizable 23% that say, we're just not sure. It goes on to say that in an open-ended question, those blaming Trump and Republicans cited a refusal to compromise the party's control of the presidency and Congress and Trump's actions. People who blame Democrats also criticized the party for refusing to compromise or said that they always oppose Trump's actions. Some also echoed false claims by Trump and Republicans that Democrat lawmakers are trying to force the government to offer full health care benefits to people who are in the country illegally. And as we've said time and time again, that has been debunked. That is not true. That is not true. All the Democrats want is to correct some errors that were made in the BBB, the big bastard of a bill, and these ACA subsidies that were basically kicked in. These are additional subsidies from what I understand that kicked in during COVID, the COVID era. Nothing to do with providing free health care to undocumented immigrants. Nothing. And sometimes I think partially what may be getting a little skewed here is it will provide the coverage back to those immigrants that are actually here legally. There is a certain, it can get very complicated. If you are in this country illegally, you do not get health care. Now, that's not to say that there weren't some states, California, Illinois, I believe it was Illinois, I want to say New York. I think they made some missteps. They went a step too far where they were actually covering at the state level. They were actually covering healthcare costs for undocumented immigrants. But they have since rolled that back because it is a budgetary black hole. They just couldn't handle it. But if you are here in this country legally, you've gone through the necessary paperwork. I think even if you have a green card and you're paying taxes, you are part of the system, then you can get health care. Not free, unless you happen to fall into where, you know, you live in a state where you can get Medicaid because you're under the poverty threshold. But the rhetoric that the right keeps trying to push, this narrative that the Democrats are just being unfair, that they're just being obstinate and unyielding and will not compromise because the Democrats want to be able to just give free health care to, you know, open up the doors. It doesn't matter if you were born here or not. Here, have some free health care. That's absolutely nonsense. It's not true at all. It's not true at all. And the Republicans are also saying, well, if you'll just go ahead and help us pass this continuing resolution for another 7 or 8 weeks, then we can circle back and look at your concerns. No. Screw me once, shame on you. Screw me twice, shame on me. Because they can't be trusted. They'll say anything to get what they want right then and there. And then when the time comes for the Democrats to come back to the Republicans and say, okay, you promised that we were going to work on this, the Republicans are like, who are you? And I mean, look, Democrats are the same damn way. You can't trust them either. But if you're going to put the two parties up and say level of trustworthiness, which one is better? The Democratic Party is going to be more trustworthy than the Republican Party. You can disagree with me, that's fine. But in my experience of being on this planet 55 years, coming up on 56 years, and having grown up in a Republican household, and then making decisions on my own and really investing and learning about our political system and what each party stands for, it is my personal belief, especially in the last 20, 25 years, that of the two, neither one are trustworthy, but the Democratic Party is more trustworthy than the Republican Party. So the Washington Post goes along and says, okay, how blame compares to past government shutdowns or near shutdowns. November of 95, 24% blamed the Democrats, 51% blamed the Republicans. October of 2013, which would have been Obama, 29% blamed the Democrats, 53% blamed the Republicans. January of 2018, under Trump, first term, 28% blamed the Democrats, 48% blamed the Republicans. January 2019, second shutdown, under Trump's first term, 29% blamed the Democrats, 53% blamed the Republicans. September 2023, which would be under Biden, 40% blamed the Democrats and 33% blamed the Republicans. So the first time out of all of those shutdowns from 1995 until now, the blame was placed on Republicans until September 2023. And now, 30% blame Democrats, 47% blame Republicans. They go on to ask, how concerned, if at all, are you about the partial shutdown of the federal government? 25% are very concerned, 41% are somewhat concerned, 22% not too concerned, and 12% say, yeah, I don't give a crap. So about two-thirds of Americans say they are concerned about the partial federal shutdown. One quarter saying they are very concerned, 41% plurality are somewhat concerned. That's more than 8 in 10 Democrats and 7 in 10 independents say they're concerned about the shutdown, but fewer than half of Republicans say the same. Federal subsidies that reduce the cost of Affordable Care Act health insurance plans are scheduled to end at the end of this year. Should these subsidies be extended? 71% say yes. End as scheduled? 29% say yes. Why? What is wrong with the 29%? Who hurt you as a child? I don't understand that. Congressional Democrats have demanded an extension of federal subsidies that reduce the cost of health insurance plans through the Affordable Care Act. It's going to expire at the end of this year, 2025. 62% majority of Republicans say they should end as scheduled. I swear, what is it with the Republican Party? You guys just want people to be sick and die? What's going on here? I don't understand. Should Democrats or Republicans demand the extension or end of health insurance subsidies even if it continues the government shutdown, or should they compromise to end the shutdown? 47% say want to extend subsidies and Dems should demand it. 24% say want to extend and Dems should compromise. 8% want to end the subsidies and the Trump and Republicans should compromise. And 21% want to end subsidies and Trump and the Republicans should demand they end. About three quarters of Democrats, 76%, 55% of independents want Democrats in Congress to demand the extension of insurance subsidies, even if it extends the shutdown. Among the Republicans, 48% want subsidies to end and for their party to persist in that demand, while 14% want their party to compromise and another 38% support extending the subsidies. Just keep this in mind that part of this, again, the narrative that the Republican Party is pushing, that the Democrats refuse to come to the table to compromise, is true. They are refusing to compromise, and that's because there isn't a compromise here. The Democrats are simply looking at, hey, we want to claw back this $1 billion that you cut from Medicaid, Medicare, and the BBB. And we know the ACA subsidies are going to end at the end of this year, end of 2025. They're gone, kaput. Everybody's premiums that buy insurance through the marketplace are going to go up significantly. There is no compromise, period. The Republicans are the ones that are refusing to, quote, compromise, because the compromise from the Republicans would be to say, okay, maybe we can't call back the billion, but we can at least meet you halfway and say, okay, we're going to extend the ACA subsidies in perpetuity. And then we can come back and maybe revisit this thing on the Medicare, Medicaid. I mean, I would love for the Democrats to be able to get exactly what it is that they want. But I feel in my heart that if the Republicans actually came back and extended an olive branch to the Democrats, the ACA to me is the biggest issue. Yeah. Gutting Medicare and Medicaid to the tune of $1 billion over, I think, 10 years, that's something that definitely needs to be addressed. But the big one is the ACA subsidies. And the Republicans refuse to even talk about it, other than, trust us, let's get past this and we'll come back together and talk about it. No, you won't. You absolutely will not. Because for some damn reason, I don't understand, the Republicans are hell-bent on the fact that Americans need to pay as much as possible and to make it as difficult as possible for people to lead healthy, happy lives in this country. I don't understand it. And I'm not sitting here and saying healthcare should be free, even though that is what I believe. I do believe in universal healthcare. Single payer, instead of going up to a $1 trillion budget on military, carve some of that crap out of that. We don't need $1 trillion for our military. We've done quite well with the hundreds of billions of dollars that are budgeted every year to go to our military. We don't need $1 trillion. You could slice off $200 or $300 billion of that and move it over into healthcare. But no, we got to have a warrior ethos. We are now the Department of War, not that woke Department of Defense. Who defends? Nobody defends. It's kill or be killed, and we kill first. I mean, come on, Pete Hegseth, you drunk bastard. All right. Let me know your thoughts. I'm probably going to get a lot of hate on this one, but you can email morningdrip@radiotiff.com. Again, that's morningdrip@radiotiff.com. Or you can send a text. The number is 229-234-1307, 229-234-1307. And if you would like to leave a voicemail, let me hear the anger in your voice. You can go to voicecast.app. That's voicecast.app/TMD for the Morning Drip. Again, that's voicecast.app/TMD. Good morning, everybody. Everybody, welcome back to the Morning Drip. It is currently 7:59 a.m., October 2nd, 2025. All right, in our last segment, for the day, for the week, came across this article: Trump shamelessly blames his enemies for carnage he's about to order. President has described the government shutdown as an opportunity. He's trying to claim that it will be the Democrats' fault, as we've previously discussed, if he uses the government shutdown to fire thousands of federal employees and cancel government-funded projects. I think I saw where some projects, specifically in New York, $18 billion earmarked for projects there has been placed on hold, which honestly, I don't know if that's legal. I'm not a lawyer, not a legal scholar, so I'm not entirely sure. But then again, with this administration, What is legality? It doesn't really matter, right? During an interview with the far-right broadcast One America News Network, OAN, the president addressed a leaked memo from the Office of Management and Budget instructing agencies to prepare for mass firings in the event of a shutdown, which then took effect Tuesday at midnight. Trump told OAN's Daniel Baldwin, quote, well, There could be firings, and that's their fault. And it also could be other things. We could cut projects that they wanted, favorite projects, and they'd be permanently cut. Permanently cut. Notice, and he's not being coy about this. He's not making it a secret. He's saying the quiet parts out loud. He is specifically targeting Democrats and Democrat-led blue states. It's retribution. He's tried to use the threat of mass firings as leverage against Democrats, refusing to support GOP spending plan to keep the government funded past September 30th. And of course, as we've previously talked about, the Democrats want the health care subsidies extended and the rollback of the cuts to Medicaid. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, who I don't really care for, by the way, responded to news of the memo last week with a statement saying the Trump administration had been firing federal employees, quote, since day one, not to govern, but to scare. These unnecessary firings will either be overturned in court or the administration will end up hiring the workers back, just like they did as recently as today. And what he's talking about there is the fact that the White House is apparently begging hundreds of federal staffers laid off by the Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, nonsense. They're begging them to come back to work. It was a ridiculous idea to begin with. I mean, I'm all for cutting waste in government, but Elon Musk can't be trusted. He's about as bad as Trump when it comes to when he says something, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's probably a lie that he just stated. Also, during this interview, Trump claimed, and again, without providing any evidence or the fact of legal authority, that the shutdown will give him extraordinary powers to fire employees and cancel projects that have already been funded. Quote, you could say, a lot of people are saying, Trump wanted this, that I wanted this closing, and I didn't want it. But a lot of people are saying it because I'm allowed to cut things that should have never been approved in the first place, and I will probably do that. As far as I know, that government shutdown does not give the president any extraordinary powers. It's not like you shut down the government and then suddenly, oh, Trump is now king. No, that's not the way that works. So Wednesday night, of course, he took the Truth Social, describing the shutdown as an opportunity for his party. Quote, Republicans must use this opportunity of Democrat forced closure to clear out dead wood, waste, and fraud. Billions of dollars can be saved. Make America great again, he wrote. And in the meantime, he has ensured that his pet projects, tariff talks, drilling permits, this new god-awful White House ballroom, which they're claiming is private donations are what's funding that, but yeah. What was it? Almost $25 million settlement with YouTube. And that's going into a nonprofit to help build that god-awful ballroom. Yeah, in a way, that is private donations, but it's through coercion. Of course, Gavin Newsom, hate him or love him, he came out swinging with a let 'em eat cake approach. He posted, Trump Marie Antoinette says, no health care for you peasants, but a ballroom for the queen. And of course, it's a picture of Trump all dolled up like a queen. It's AI generated, of course. Man, I don't know. I don't know how this is going to play out. I don't like the fact that the government shuts down like this because it does cause problems for hardworking Americans. Our economy is already fragile. Don't believe, you know, Trump's out there touting, you know, we got the hottest economy on the planet. We're the hottest country on the planet. Everybody's looking to America as that's the shining beacon of what we should be. No, dear leader, they're looking at America going, oh, my God, what has happened to this great nation of virtue and freedom and what have you? Yeah, they're not looking at us as an example of how they should be. They're looking at us as an example of what not to do and hoping, like the rest of us, that we can get through the next 3 years unscathed. And maybe, just maybe, this republic can right itself and we can get past this nonsense of MAGA and Republican Party of Donald Trump. I mean, even the Reagan Party, and it had its problems, but the Republican Party of Reagan was never this destructive and disastrous to the country. Not to this extent. It looked great during the 80s, don't get me wrong, but there's a lot of things that we go back and look at now, and it's like, yeah, we shouldn't have done that. But anyway, that's where we're going to wrap up this morning's show. Thank you for taking the time to listen to The Morning Drip. If you don't get an opportunity to listen to it live, which right now we're tentatively looking at maybe doing this Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday around 7 o'clock in the morning. And we are not dead set on start time, but it'll be as close to 7 as we possibly can. We'll just see how this goes. But if you can't catch it live at RadioTiff.com, you can always go to RadioTiff.com, click on the Morning Drip link, and this will be available to you as a podcast. Again, if you have any comments or questions, critiques, you just want to bust my balls, that's fine. You can email the show, morningdrip@radiotiff.com. Again, the email is morningdrip@radiotiff.com. Text line is 229-234-1307, 229-234-1307. And if you just really want me to hear how angry you are, or maybe you agree with me, I don't know. We are in South Central Georgia. Stranger things have happened. Let me hear your voice. Go to voicecast.app/TMD. That's voicecast.app/TMD. Do it on your phone. That's the easiest thing because your phone's already got a built-in microphone. Or you can do it on a laptop or anything where you have a microphone because that's the way you'll have to do it if I want to hear your lovely, lovely voice. All right, well, here's to the rest of Spooktober. I'm going to get out of here. Everybody have a great Friday, great Saturday and Sunday, fantastic weekend. And hopefully we'll see you back here Tuesday morning around 7 a.m. for another Morning Drip. Take care. Good morning, everybody.